Welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church in Duncanville, Texas. Today we continue our sermon series on stories associated with Jesus, antidotes and anecdotes. Today we hear what happens when you put new wine into old wineskins or a new program into an old operating system. Join us now for the message, Work and Wineskins. Good morning and welcome to worship here at Trinity United Methodist Church in Duncanville, Texas. I'm Jane Grainer and I'm the senior pastor.
And I'm Wesley McCall, I'm the music director.
And we want to welcome everyone who is worshiping with us this morning, particularly if you're new to our worship service. We want to make you feel welcomed as well. So, are we in ancient Galilee? Are we in the metrics? So stay tuned because I think Jesus wants to download something into your brain. As normal, we will be taking prayer requests during our time here together. If you have a joy or a concern or request a blessing, just post it there in the Facebook feed and we will lift that up to the Lord later on in the service. I'd also like to invite you at this point, if you have not done so already, to please make an offering to the ministry of our church. You can do that through our website, tumcd.org, or through the Church Center app, or through mailing a check to the church office. Today is Communion Sunday. So have your bread and either grape juice or wine ready, and we'll be celebrating communion after our sermon. We also will be starting today our August Rail Communion offering, which is going to go to the Property Improvement Program. This is a local program where volunteers offer no-cost home repairs to property owners of Duncanville who otherwise cannot afford those repairs or yard repairs. This is a ministry of our sister church here in town, First UMC of Duncanville, and it serves the entire community. So our August Communion Rail offering will be going to the Property Improvement Program. I have a very special announcement. Next Saturday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., we're going to have another open house. We will not have necessarily a meeting. It's just going to be a come-and-go open house on Saturday morning from 10 to 1. So you'll be able to have a chance to come by and see the progress made in our church. We had our last open house about 2 months ago, and I think already things are starting to look significantly better. Also, we will be giving you a chance to leave messages of goodwill to our church. I read an article recently that another church that had had their sanctuary flooded, they had their congregation come in and write Bible verses and prayers and good messages to the church on the concrete floor of the sanctuary prior to replacing the flooring. And Evelyn Tanner had an idea, even one better. Why don't we take these prayers and Bible verses and good messages for Trinity, and we put them in a time capsule and place this time capsule underneath the new chancel slash stage area. So it may be there for future generations to see. We also thought it might be easier just to write on pieces of paper than to actually have to get down on your hands and knees and write on the concrete. And of course, considering the flooding that we've had recently, it will be a waterproof time capsule. So please come by anytime between 10 and 1 next Saturday. We'll have pens and paper on hand, and you can leave your prayers, your goodwill messages, your Bible verses for our congregation, and we'll leave them there in the time capsule for the future generations to follow us. If you can't come by on Saturday, then feel free, please just mail your messages to the church office, or you can leave them in the church biz box outside of our front door. So I'm looking forward to this and all the good messages and prayers we can have for our congregation going forward. We have three connection groups that meet during the week, two of which meet on Sunday mornings at 9:30. We have our UM Disciplines class that meets via Skype, and we also have our LIFT class, which meets via Zoom. Next week, they will be wrapping up their study of Adam Hamilton's Christianity's Family Tree, What Other Christians Believe and Why. And then on the 15th, the Sunday after that, the LIFT class will be starting their next book entitled Jesus and the Disinherited by Howard Thurman. And that class will be facilitated by Evelyn Tanner. So if you have any questions, contact Evelyn. She'll be happy to give you more information about that. And then as usual, our pastor's Bible study is on Wednesday evenings, 7 o'clock on Zoom. If you want more information about how to connect with any of these connection groups, just email or message the church. And now let us enter into a spirit of worship and prayer with this centering psalm.
From Psalm 92. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. In old age, they still produce fruit. They are always green and full of sap, showing that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. And now for our opening prayer. Christ, we are gathered here at your personal invitation around a table that overflows with your abundance. Before us is spread the living bread, come down from heaven, and the cup of the new covenant. May we honor your Sabbath with works of love and mercy as we continue to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Amen.
And now, even though we cannot be together in the same place, we are together in the same time. So my prayer for you is peace be with you.
And now for our prayer of illumination. Holy God, author of the Word made flesh, open us to your Holy Spirit, that as Scripture is spoken and your Word proclaimed, we may be comforted, convinced, and changed to the glory of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. We have two scripture passages this morning. The first comes from 1 Samuel chapter 21. David came to Nob, to the priest Ahimelech. Ahimelech came trembling to meet David and said to him, "Why are you alone and no one with you?" David said to the priest Ahimelech, "The king has charged me with the matter and said to me, 'No one must know anything of the matter about which I send you and with which I have charged you. I have made an appointment with the young men for such and such a place. Now then, what have you at hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread or whatever is here.' The priest answered David, 'I have no ordinary bread at hand, only holy bread, provided that the young men have kept themselves from women.' David answered the priest, 'Indeed, women have been kept from us, and as always, when I go on an expedition, the vessels of the young men are holy, even when it is a common journey. How much more today will their vessels be holy?' So the priest gave him the holy bread, for there was no bread there except the bread of the presence, which is removed from before the Lord, to be replaced by hot bread on the day it is taken away." And our second reading is from the Gospel of Luke, from chapters 5 and 6. Then the scribes and the Pharisees said to Jesus, "John's disciples, like the disciples of the Pharisees, frequently fast and pray, but your disciples eat and drink." Jesus said to them, "You cannot make wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them, can you? The days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days." He also told them a parable. "No one tears a piece from a new garment and sews it on an old garment. Otherwise, the new will be torn, and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins and will be spilled, but the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, desires new wine, but says, 'The old is good.'" One Sabbath, while Jesus was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked some heads of grain, rubbed them in their hands, and ate them. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" Jesus answered, "Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath.' On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught, and there was a man there whose right hand was withered. The scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would cure on the Sabbath, so that they might find an accusation against him. Even though he knew what they were thinking, he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Come and stand here.' He got up and stood there, and then Jesus said to them, 'I ask you, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to destroy it? After looking around at all of them, he said to him, stretch out your hand. He did so, and his hand was restored. But they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. The word of God for the people of God.
How many of you have ever seen the movie The Matrix, or at least have heard about it? It came out in 1999. It was the first of a trio of science fiction films, which then included the sequels, The Matrix Reloaded and The Matrix Revolutions. While in reality, each person here is just laying in their pod suspended, the person thinks that they are living and enjoying a life, a normal life on Earth, and their entire lives then are nothing but an illusion, a simulation that is created then by these computers. Like I said, each human has a port in the back of the head through which the machines download this simulation directly into the human brain. Now later, after the main character, whose name is Neo, after he is rescued from his pod and he's liberated by the machines from an underground network of rebels, he still has this port that's installed in the back of his head. All the rebels do. Now that he's living in the real world, however, this port can be used to directly download knowledge and information. For example, at one point in the movie, his companions download a martial arts program into Neo's brain. And in the movie, you see Neo just kind of stop for a second, then he says, I know Kung Fu. And then all of a sudden, he starts doing these elaborate Kung Fu moves with perfect expertise and perfect technique. And later on in the movie, his companions download a helicopter pilot program so that at just the right time, he knows exactly how to pilot this particular model of the helicopter that he finds. Ever since I first saw The Matrix, I've been gripped by this idea. I want a port in the back of my head where I can directly download knowledge and information. I mean, you know, think about it. Instead of having to sweat through 4 years trying to earn your college degree, you could just have one downloaded. I have a degree now in astrophysics. Before you go and travel, say you're on a trip to Italy, you can have Italian downloaded into your brain. It's like, voila, I know Italian. Though actually it's voila, it would be more like French, but still, you get the idea. What I really wish, though, is that every time I had to upgrade the operating system of my computer, then I could get my brain upgraded at the same time. And I would instantly know all the changes in the program and all the ways to use this new program to its fullest advantage. And I would be able to operate the upgraded operating system with ease with my upgraded operating brain. Or just imagine I'm walking out of the Apple store with my new iPad or my new iPhone, and all the new instructions have just already been downloaded into my brain before I've even left the store. Ordinarily, I love learning new things. It's one of the reasons I love to travel so often. It's one of the reasons that I frequently listen to lecture series as I drive. Some of these lecture series are about religion and the Bible, but more often they're about other subjects like science or history or psychology, because I deeply believe that staying informed of whatever is new and staying informed on a wide breadth of different disciplines is essential to continuing to write and compose sermons that continue to be relevant. But the one exception to my love of learning, however, is technology. Now, while I deeply appreciate what technology can do, and I fully affirm how vital technology now has become to doing ministry, I'm just not all that interested in the nuts and bolts of technology. Computers and smartphones and iPads and now social media, they are, for me, they're tools that are supposed to make my life easier. I find it really actually very annoying to have to learn a new device or a new app or a new operating system or a new type of social media. New technology makes my life much harder before it makes my life much easier. In fact, this is one of the reasons I've been known to kind of hold on to old technology. I'm much better about this than I used to be, about being willing to learn new technology, but I still do not relish the learning curve. I wish I could just get my brain updated every time that I have my technology updated. Well, meeting Jesus can be somewhat like learning new technology. Jesus has a way of turning all of our preferences and assumptions upside down. Jesus represents a new paradigm, and our old brains then can struggle to keep up. With Jesus, there is never an easy way, and there's always going to be a steep learning curve. In the religious landscape of first century Palestine, Jesus represented an entirely new operating system, an operating system complete with differing rules and different protocols. Over the century, the tribal cult of the Hebrews had eventually evolved into the religion that we would recognize now as Judaism. Gradually, new ideas and new understandings of God had been grafted into the belief system of the Israelites into a fully formed faith with universal implications. Again, the religion we would recognize as Judaism then had emerged. And this now fully formed Judaism was the faith in which Jesus was born and raised. Yet within 100 years, Judaism and Christianity would part ways as separate but still very intricately intertwined religions. Christianity, in essence, developed its own operating system. This is part of what Jesus was communicating when he talked about the new and old garments and the new and old wineskins. While sitting in a banquet, some of the scribes and Pharisees had asked Jesus why his disciples did not fast like the disciples of John the Baptist or the disciples of the Pharisees. And Jesus replied that you don't fast when the bridegroom is with you. After the bridegroom goes, then you'll have plenty of time to fast after that. To illustrate his point, Jesus said that if you tear an old garment, you would never tear a piece off of a new garment in order to repair the old garment. Why would you want to ruin a new garment just to repair an old garment? The two pieces aren't going to match anyway. And besides, the first time you wash the repaired garment, the new patch would shrink, creating a worse tear than you had before. So you would end up ruining both the new and the old garment. Likewise, you would never put new wine into old wineskins. You see, in the ancient world, after you'd stomped off all the juice to be found in the grapes and released all that juice, that grape juice or the new wine, you would put it into wineskins. Wineskins then were pouches that were made from the hides of animals. But as grape juice ferments, as in the process toward it becoming wine, as it ferments, it lets off gases. And so the wineskins needed to have some elasticity, or these gases would burst the wineskins, destroying both the wineskins and the wine. That's why it was essential to always use new wineskins, because only new hides of the animals would have that needed elasticity so that they would not be burst through the fermentation process. Similarly, Jesus and his teachings represented new wine. And so it was different from the old wine of the Judaism of the Pharisees. And so to try to pour Jesus's new wine into the Pharisees' old wineskins, well, that would just create the bursting of the old wineskins, and then you would lose the new wine and you have a mess on your hands. Now, while some Pharisees did appreciate Jesus's new message, and there's a report later on in Luke about how some Pharisees go out of their way to warn Jesus that Herod wants to have him killed, nonetheless, it seems the majority of the Pharisees were simply unable to apprehend what it is that Jesus was trying to say. Their brains were like these old wineskins. They were running on the old operating system. And so Jesus' message then required new wineskins of the church in order for it to ferment and to become a religion now that could sweep through the Gentile world. So how does the new wine differ from the old wine? Well, first of all, everyone is invited to partake of the new wine. This particular banquet that Jesus used their hands to remove the chaff and then they ate the grain. In response to this, some of the Pharisees, when they saw them, then asked, "Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" Now, if you recall in the Ten Commandments, the fourth commandment reads, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work." What exactly constitutes work, however, had been the subject of debates for centuries. Now, the Torah specifically states that the Sabbath will be observed even during times of planting and harvesting. In the eyes of the Pharisees, then, plucking the grain and removing the chaff by rubbing your hands together was harvesting. And harvesting was forbidden on the Sabbath. Therefore, what the disciples were doing was unlawful. So Jesus replied to the Pharisees with a story from Scripture, with a story that Wesley read there from 1 Samuel. So once, while David and his men were fleeing from King Saul, David arrived there at the temple of the town of Nob, and there he saw the priest, and he asked the priest for food for himself and his men. Well, the only food that was available was the bread of the presence, and this was bread that only the priests were allowed to eat. Yet the priest gave the holy bread to David, and he went on his way. Now, both David and the priest, they violated technically the letter of the law, but it was for a greater good. David and his men had no food, and they were trying to evade capture by King Saul. So by telling this story, Jesus is reminding the Pharisees that the law is there to serve a greater purpose, not just to keep hungry people from eating. In fact, in Mark's version of this story of the plucking of the grain by Jesus' disciples, Jesus goes on to repeat a saying that had already been circulating among the Pharisees themselves. "The Sabbath was made for humankind and not humankind for the Sabbath." The idea is tested again in the next story. Again, it's another Sabbath, and as is his custom, Jesus is in the synagogue on the Sabbath. And also in attendance that day is a man who has a withered right hand. And again, the scribes and Pharisees want to watch to see if Jesus will do its healing on a Sabbath, for healing is considered another form of work. Well, perceiving what they're thinking, Jesus asked the man to stand in the middle of them. And then he inquires of the scribes and Pharisees, "I ask you, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or destroy it?" Well, no one says anything as Jesus' eyes scan the room. Then he turns to the man and he says, "Stretch out your hand." And the man stretches out his right hand to find it now fully restored. But instead of rejoicing, the Pharisees get furious and they start to discuss among themselves just what it is they're going to do about this Jesus. While most Pharisees would have allowed for the exceptions on the Sabbath for exceptions to Sabbath law for emergencies, neither the disciples' eating nor the healing of the man with a withered hand constituted an emergency. The disciples were hungry, they weren't starving, and the man with a withered hand had lived with this condition for years. One day wasn't going to be any more for that. It wouldn't hurt anymore. This makes me think about the fact that many people now describe themselves as spiritual but not religious. And it is true that spirituality and religion are not the same things, but I do think they are deeply intertwined, and I think ultimately they're inseparable. Spirituality concerns our relationship with God or our relationship to ultimate reality. As human beings, we are inherently spiritual beings. And as spiritual beings, we long to be a part of something that is larger than ourselves, we desire for our lives to have meaning and to have purpose. And then religion, on the other hand, is a system of beliefs and rituals that are practiced within community that then give shape and form to our spirituality. I always like to think of spirituality as like the wind, just kind of blowing freely. But then religion is like a sail. The sail then directs the wind so that we're actually able to progress and to go forward in our journey. Spirituality is like water that is flowing in a stream, while religion is kind of like the paddle wheel that then can channel the spirit so that it's actually able to do some good. Though religion often gets a bad rap these days, I believe that religion still remains one of the most fundamentally positive aspects of the human experience. Now, of course, I would think that because I am a pastor, and you kind of could think of me as being a professional religious person. But I do think there are times when religion goes awry. It goes awry when it no longer serves the larger purpose of spiritual growth and the reconciliation of relationships with God and with each other. There is a point where a religious belief or religious practice can become an idol that becomes more important than people, maybe even more important than God. To paraphrase Jesus' statement about the Sabbath and humankind, religion is made to serve God and to serve humanity. Humanity was not created to serve religion. If a religious belief or religious practice does nothing to reconcile relationships or to relieve suffering, then it's time to let it go. If a religious belief or practice leads to self-righteousness or exclusion or excessive and pointless guilt, then it's time to let it go. Don't let your mind or heart become an old wineskin that has no elasticity to grow or no elasticity to receive the new wine of Christ. I tell you, if a hungry person walks into our church and all we have is communion bread, then I'm going to give them the communion bread. Jesus healed the man with the withered hand by commanding him to extend his hand. And that is how Christ still heals us today. Christ commands us to stretch ourselves. When we stretch out our hand, then we have a hand to receive, and we have a hand to give, and we have a hand that can comfort others. By stretching out our hand, then we can also stretch out our minds and stretch out our hearts as well. Then we can also be healed just like that man on the Sabbath was. It's as if Jesus wants to download a whole new program into our brains. So voila, we have now experienced God's grace and love and forgiveness. We have now a new operating system, and our minds now have the elasticity to receive the new wine of Christ. So we can choose to live in the confined world of those Pharisees that just could not apprehend what Jesus was trying to do. We could be ready to pounce on anyone who doesn't obey the rules, or at least the rules as we interpret them. Or we can love like Jesus. So let us taste the new wine. It's a great vintage. The new wine has the same vintage as the year of the Lord's favor. Amen. And now, if you have not already done so, go get your bread and your wine or grape juice so that now we can worship Lord through Holy Communion. Christ our Lord welcomes and invites all people throughout the earth to the table of God. So if you're ready to accept Christ's invitation, if you love God, if you repent of your sin, if you intend to live in peace with all, then let us confess our sin before God and one another. And as I say the prayer of confession, then you please respond, God, have mercy. Let us pray. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. God, have mercy. We have failed to be an obedient church. God, have mercy. We have not done your will. God, have mercy. We have broken your law. God, have mercy. We have rebelled against your love. God, have mercy. We have not loved our neighbors. God, have mercy. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. God, have mercy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now let us confess our personal sins privately in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. Blessed are you, our Alpha and our Omega, whose strong and loving arms encompass the universe. For with your eternal word and Holy Spirit, you are forever one God. Through your word, you created all things and called them good. And in you, we live and move and have our being. When we fell into sin and you did not desert us, you made covenant with your people Israel and spoke through prophets and teachers. And Jesus Christ, your word became flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is Jesus Christ, who called you Abba, Father, as a mother tenderly gathers her children. You embraced a people as your own and filled them with a longing for a peace that would last and for a justice that would never fail. In Jesus' suffering and death, you took upon yourself our sin and death and destroyed their power forever. You raised from the dead this same Jesus, who now reigns with you in glory, and poured upon us your Holy Spirit, making us the people of your new covenant. On the night before meeting with death, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you and broke the bread and gave his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, then Jesus took the cup, gave thanks to you and gave his disciples and said, drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for all as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us, gathers here and on these gifts of bread and wine, that in the breaking of this bread and the drinking of this wine, we may know the presence of the living Christ and be renewed as the body of Christ for the world, redeemed by his blood. As the grain and grapes once dispersed in the fields are now united on this table in bread and wine, so may we and all your people be gathered from every time and place into the unity of your eternal household and feast at your table forever. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. And the bread in which we break, is it not a sharing then of the body of Christ? And the cup over which we give thanks, is it not a sharing now in the blood of Christ? This is the body of Christ that was given for you. And this now is the blood of Christ that was shed for you. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery and what you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now we are at the point of our service where we go to the Lord in prayer. These are some prayers that y'all have sent in. So we want to lift up some prayers for Jan Knoll, who's getting an eye injection on Monday and a mammogram on Tuesday. And also thanks to friend Jean for giving Jan a ride. So for Jan on Monday and Tuesday, we pray that God's strength and comfort is with you. And so, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We want to give prayers for, this is from Casey and Kay Lawrence, prayers for Casey's coworker, Christy. Christy's been hospitalized for COVID since Thursday, and she's in ICU, struggling to keep her oxygen levels up, and she's asking for prayers that she may avoid having to go on a ventilator. So yes, definitely prayers for Christy, prayers that her lungs will remain strong, that she will be able to get through this crisis without a ventilator, and that God's hand will be touching her through the touch of the doctors and the nurses. And we pray for all the COVID patients out there and all those affected by COVID and all of those medical personnel that are out there doing the work of the Lord and taking care of those with COVID. And so for Christy and all those with COVID, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Rachel Platts asked for prayers for her friend Andrea and her family as they live with the diagnosis of their youngest son with gastrointestinal issues. And so they're still trying to learn the extent of the issues and what they will have to do to be able to live with those and treat those issues. So for Andrea and her son and their family and the medical team, we pray that God's wisdom and strength is with you in the coming days as you learn how to deal and live with this new diagnosis. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. I want us to also be lifting up a prayer of healing for Wesley McCall. You might have noticed that his voice was not as strong as it normally is. He actually does not feel well, and we are so grateful that he was still able to be with us in worship this morning. He has been in band camp. He's been out in the hot sun. He still has more band camp. He still then has teacher training, and then he gets to go back to school. So, Wesley, our prayers are for you, that you'll be able to remain strong and that God's strength will be with you as you deal with the kiddos and the band and this hot sun going forward. And we also pray for Jenna because she's the one that has to take care of you. So for Wesley and Jenna, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. I would also like to, for us to continue to be praying for our contractor and the renovations that are going on. They're going well, but I just want to continue to pray God's blessings upon Samuel and his crew, that they remain safe and able to proceed without much incident in their renovations for our building. So prayers that they remain safe and sound. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer, but also a prayer of thanks that they're doing such a good job to bring our church building back to its full capacity. And so for all the work that Samuel and his crew are doing, this is the work of the Lord, and thanks be to God. And then finally, a blessing. This coming Wednesday, Bill and Janice will be celebrating their 42nd wedding anniversary. Congratulations, Bill and Janice. Congratulations to both of you. And that's wonderful news. And I know that on your anniversary night, you're going to want to come to the pastor's Bible study. That's what you're just dying to do. But nonetheless, we pray God's blessings upon you in this coming year ahead. We certainly, as a church family, are very grateful for your family in turn, and for both your marriage and the wonderful product of your marriage, Jennifer, who is such a wonderful addition to our church as well. And so we pray for you in this next coming year that your marriage will just grow stronger and deeper. And so that a year from now, you'll look back and say, wow, this is one of the greatest years we've ever had. And so we ask that in Christ's name. Amen. And so now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray the prayer that our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If any of you out there would like to either contact me or want more information about our church, please message us through Facebook. I'll be happy to talk with you. You can always access more information about our church on our Facebook page or our website, tumcd.org. You can also find always recordings of our service on the Facebook page, on the website, or on our podcast, Jane's Most Excellent Church Adventure. And so in this next week, be on the lookout for ways that Jesus may be asking you to stretch out your hands, your heart, or your mind. Now receive this benediction. May the wind of the Holy Spirit guide you in your journey ahead with an outstretched heart. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Love your neighbor. Go in peace. We hope you enjoyed and were blessed by today's service. Join us next Sunday here on Facebook Live at 11 a.m. We'll continue our sermon series on the stories of Jesus. If you can't join us live, you can always listen to the recording of our service. You'll find that on our podcast, Jane's Most Excellent Church Adventure. God bless you in the week ahead. We'll see you Sunday at Trinity United Methodist Church.